Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We've been sharing with you on the subject of understanding the blood of Jesus. And we've talked about the blood of Jesus in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. We've been especially talking about how the blood of Jesus is applied in our life. If we sin, we confess our sins, and Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins are washed away in the blood of Jesus. The blood is also applied when we walk in the light of His Word so that we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus continually keeps us cleansed from all sin. When we confess our sins and or walk in the light of the Word, His blood is automatically applied to us by Jesus, who performs the Word of the Covenant. And then in the last broadcast, we began to examine questions, statements, practices concerning the blood of Jesus among Christians to see if they're the truth. And we're examining these in the light of the Word of God to find out if they're error or traditions of men. As we're looking at these questions, statements, practices, we can't make conclusions based on our past beliefs, teachings, practices, or experiences. Remember, all conclusions must be made in the light of the Word of God to be the truth. We answered the question, is the blood of Jesus an offensive weapon used against the devil? And the answer is no. Are there any scriptures in the Word where the blood of Jesus was used as an offensive weapon against the devil or demons? No. We talked about the armor of God in Ephesians 6, where the blood was not mentioned as one of the parts of the armor of God. It was never used as a weapon in Acts or anywhere in the Bible. Thus, the blood of Jesus is not an offensive weapon used against the devil. We also talked about, is the blood of Jesus a defensive weapon that we use against the devil? Again, the answer is no. What is the part of the armor that is the defensive weapon against the devil? It's the shield of faith. How do we hold up the shield of faith? By speaking the Word of God and declaring, it is written, to extinguish the fiery darts of the wicked. The blood is not something that the believer uses as a defensive weapon against the devil. The believer uses the Word of God as his defensive weapon to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. We also mentioned the statement made by ministers that we need to remind Satan about the blood. Do we ever need to remind him about the blood? No. It never was done in the Word of God. Another statement, no wise Christian would ever dare to cast out demons without faith in the blood of Jesus, and never without a conscious pleading of the blood. Do we do that? No. Is there any scripture to prove this statement? No. We gave the scriptures in Mark 16:17 and Acts 16:18, where we cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And we mentioned Matthew 12:28, where Jesus cast them out by the Spirit of God. Therefore, we do not cast out demons by the blood of Jesus. Another statement made when confronting a demon, the blood of Jesus is against you, devil. Is this the biblical approach to cast out demons? You hear a lot of people say, well, the blood of Jesus is against you, demon. No. Demons are cast out with the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God as we act upon the Word and speak forth with our mouth in line with the Word. Never did anybody in the Bible make this kind of statement, and never did anyone use the blood against a demon. Another statement is, Satan can't touch me because I'm covered with the blood. Well, nobody ever said that in the Bible. What's the Bible say? The enemy not being able to touch a believer. What talks about that? 1 John 5:18 says this, he that's begotten of God keepeth himself, or guards himself, and the wicked one touches him not. So if you guard yourself, and of course, what's the believer to keep or guard himself from? He's to guard himself from sin. That's what would give place to the devil. Satan won't be able to touch a person as long as he walks free from sin. And of course, he also is going to have to resist his attacks. Because remember, the enemy can come attack against you, even if you're in right fellowship with the Lord. That's why we can have direct attacks from people used of the devil. We can have direct attacks like sickness, disease trying to come against you and so forth. Another thing that the believer must realize is that you're going to have to resist his temptations if you're going to walk free. And so, but no place in dealing with the devil's attacks did anybody hold up the blood against him or deal with anything using the blood. No, you resist him steadfast in the faith with the Word of God, and the devil flees from us. That's what Jesus did. It's written. So keeping and guarding yourself from sin and also resisting the temptation through the Word, that's what's going to keep him from touching us. Another statement is, believers must cover themselves with the blood. These are actual statements, all that I've made, that are heard by people speaking these or written in their books or in their some sort of correspondence. It says, believers must cover themselves with the blood. Many are taught to cover themselves, their loved ones, their possessions with the blood of Jesus. Is this scriptural? The answer is no. Believer has no means to touch the blood himself. It's Jesus' blood. He's the one who applies it. Now remember when we talked in the Old Testament about Moses, a type of Christ, or else the high priest? They're the only ones that would apply the blood. And so who's the high priest today? Jesus. He's the high priest. He's the one solely in charge of applying the blood. Did the people apply the blood? No. What again causes the blood to be applied to the believer? It's applied when we confess our sins and or walk in the light of the Word of God. It's automatically applied by Jesus in response to our obedience to confessing our sins and walking in light of the Word of God. Is it ever recorded in the Word where someone took the blood of Jesus and covered themselves? This is a continual thing that everybody teaches out there. Give me chapter and verse to prove that anybody in the Bible, someplace in the Bible, that they took the blood of Jesus and covered themselves. It's not in there. It's a false tradition of men, and many in the body of Christ do it. You know, the reason I'm teaching this is because we want to be in line with the truth. We don't want to follow the traditions of men, and we've got to understand how the blood of Jesus is applied. No place does the Bible teach the believer is to use the blood or do something with the blood himself. No place does the Word tell us to cover ourselves with the blood. No place does it tell us to cover our loved ones or our possessions with the blood. It's false teaching. Even if this was a scriptural practice for an individual, which it's not, could we cover another person to protect them? No. Why not? It's because they have to confess their own sins and walk in the light of the Word of God themselves in order for Jesus to apply the blood to them. No one could ever do that for another person. This teaching is a lie. Here's another statement. Some people say that since the children of Israel put the blood on the doorpost, this signifies that the believers are to apply the blood to ourselves to be protected. What about this statement? Well, it's incorrect scriptural reasoning, first of all. The children of Israel only put it on the doorpost, not on themselves. Secondly, they never put the blood on the doorpost again. It was only done once, and not something that was done repeatedly. Another point, the Bible never taught them to apply the blood to themselves. And another point, it said that the blood put on the doorpost caused them to have protection. Well, that's true, but from whom and what were they protected? The answer is from God and His judgment. What was happening there in Exodus chapter 12? That was where the children of Israel were protected from God's judgment. Now, ministers have taught that the children of Israel put the blood on the doorpost implies that we're to apply the blood to ourselves to be protected from our enemy, the devil. Well, that's incorrect reasoning. Again, the protection of the blood in Exodus 12 was not protection from the enemy. It was protection from God's judgment on Egypt. What was going on? It was the judgment on Pharaoh and on Egypt. So you got to look at what Exodus 12 is talking about. The doorposts point toward the cross where Jesus was crucified. The blood on the doorpost points to the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. The result was that he accomplished redemption. Because of his redemption for us through his blood, then when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we'll have the blood applied by Jesus, and then we'll be protected from God's judgment. Now, God's judgment on Pharaoh and the idols of Egypt, it was foreshadowing his judgment on Satan and the idols of the world. When the blood's applied to us by Jesus, having received him as Lord and Savior, we'll be protected from God's judgment, which is in existence upon Satan and those under his dominion, as well as those who walk in the ways of the world. The statement that we apply the blood to ourselves like the blood was applied to the doorpost is an erroneous teaching. One cannot make the connection from blood on the doorpost to blood on the people. It just doesn't fit. Besides, the blood never was applied to the people at the Exodus. Furthermore, one can say that the blood applied to protect the children of Israel from God's judgments, pointing towards the believer applying the blood to be protected from the enemy. Again, the blood did not protect them from the enemy. It protected them from God's judgment. Very important that we understand these points. Here's another statement. Some people have said that since the blood was applied to the doorposts of the house, shouldn't we apply the blood of Jesus to our house and possessions daily? Well, no. First of all, the purpose of the blood applied to the doorpost was not to protect their house and possessions. If that was the purpose of applying the blood, and it was, you know, something necessary to apply to the house continually, why didn't God instruct the Israelites to apply the blood daily to their house and possessions? They never applied the blood to their house again for protection or any of their possessions. Anybody ever cover their house or protections with the blood of Jesus in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? No, it was never done. So the blood was not applied to the doorpost as a sign that their house or possessions were protected. Instead, it pointed toward the cross where Jesus' blood would be shed to accomplish redemption, so that all who ate the lamb would be protected from God's judgment. The eating of the lamb is the type of receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior, being born again, whereby the blood of Jesus is applied to the believer in Christ, protecting him from God's judgment. Now, why do believers do things that are not in line with the Word of God? It's a good question. Applying the blood to your house and possessions daily is error. Now, here's another point. Well, what about Rahab and the scarlet thread in the window? Yeah, let's talk about that one. The scarlet thread showed the Israelites who was to be protected and not destroyed when they came to conquer the city. The scarlet thread did not protect them from the enemy. What was going on? It was the Israelites. God was leading them, who came and destroyed the enemies in the city. This was God destroy them. You know, the scarlet thread indicated that they were to be preserved. Why? Because they hid in the spies. So they were protected from whose judgment? God's judgment upon the enemies. It has nothing to do with protecting you from the enemy. Now, some people say that they ask God to cover themselves with the blood of Jesus every day. Well, that might sound like a real nice thing to do. The statement acknowledges at least one thing, that we don't do something with the blood ourselves. But the person who makes the statement knows who applies the blood, at least. He knows it's Jesus. However, he asks God to cover us with his blood in order to see it applied in our life. Is there a scripture directing us to ask God to cover us with his blood? Nope, it's not in the Bible. Well, what causes the blood of Jesus to be applied to the believer? Not prayer, or that we pray and ask him to do it. No, the answer is the blood is applied by Jesus when we do one of two things. If we confess our sins, so we receive forgiveness, cleansing from all unrighteousness, he cleanses us. And or walk in the light of the Word of God, as we saw in 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and continually cleanses us. Remember, it's the present tense, and so from all sin. Now, so it's important. Again, the answer to this is the blood is applied by Jesus when we confess our sins and or walk in the light of the Word of God. When we do this, the blood's automatically applied by Jesus. So we don't ask him to cover us. Did anybody ever pray to be covered with the blood of Jesus in the Bible? The answer is no. It's not in the Bible, and it's an unscriptural practice. Here's another point. A question was asked of a minister, how often do you ask God to cover us with the blood? His answer was, you do it every time we pray. Do we need to ask God to cover us with the blood every time we pray? No. Did anybody in the Bible do that? No. What do we need to do before we pray? We need to be sure that we've confessed our sins or in right fellowship with God. You know, when we're in right fellowship with God, the blood of Jesus automatically is applied to us by Jesus. And then when we're in right fellowship with him, he hears the prayers of the righteous. And if we're abiding in right fellowship by walking in the light of the Word of God, then the blood of Jesus continually keeps us cleansed, and the Father will hear our prayers as we pray in line with the Word. Nowhere in the Bible did anyone always cover themselves with the blood before they began to pray. Again, this is false teaching. Well, we've covered more about the blood of Jesus, and we're dealing with this unscriptural tradition of pleading the blood. If you'd like to get our book, we have a book written on this particular subject. It's called Understanding the Blood of Jesus. It covers all the information that we are talking about on the broadcast and gives you a clear understanding of the blood and deals with all this about the unscriptural traditions of pleading the blood. It's available for $6, postage paid. If you would like to get it, please call me at 602-279-5212. Again, if you'd like to get it, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.